Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
It is my friend's sex therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, this is not for little ears, but you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. So today we're going to chat about couples who are really, really struggling with their relationship after a year of lockdown. And many people are turning to therapy for advice. I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook. How are you?
Hiya, Jen. I'm saying hello to you today from Dublin. I'm
Stop it! You made it back. So you're back in the home, homeland.
I'm going to be here for at least a few months. I'm absolutely delighted. So,
how's it feel to be back?
It is. It feels amazing.
Does it? Big change. When was the last? I mean, you've been living abroad for a while, haven't you?
A good few years now. I come back all the time, but I haven't been back in the last year because of lockdown. So it's been a long old stint.
So maybe now in a couple of months when things get back to normal, you'd be actually sitting opposite me in the studio and we can do our therapy sessions then.
Jesus, I hope so.
I hope so. Well, let's talk about therapy because so many couples are turning to therapy. Have you seen a huge jump in numbers with people struggling in their relationship?
Yeah, I have. There's loads more couples who are really struggling. You know, I think whether people have kids or don't have kids, most people are just absolutely sick of each other, the sight of each other from spending so much time together. And then for the couples who are living apart, you know, that comes with its own set of challenges, whether they're, you know, just apart for various reasons in the same country or if they're living in different countries. You know, there's been a lot more couples feeling the stress, partly because people are feeling so much more stress in themselves, which then usually translates into the romantic relationship as well, whether that's about health, whether it's about finances, whether it's worrying about, you know, other family members and friends. A lot more people are struggling.
We've talked about getting space from your partner before, but tell us again just some ideas of getting that all-important headspace and physical space apart. You know, being able to miss your partner is important, isn't it?
Oh, God, it's so important.
Yeah,
so
it's hard to do.
You know, it might... A lot of people are doing things which can be great to go out for a walk with your partner and exercise together just to have something other than sitting at home staring at each other. But I think when you can do those things on your own as well, do, you know, make time for stuff, which is really hard if you've got kids, when you're both, if you're both working, obviously. But doing anything that you can to find time to do stuff yourself and go for, you know, walks with other people, you know, whether that's reading, doing a bit of yoga, meditating, cooking, just being out of eye line and not being able to hear your partner where possible, which is sometimes really hard depending on the space you're living in. But, you know, it really helps to kind of calm your nervous system to not be able to see the other person, because I'm sure you've experienced this. I know I have in every relationship I've ever been in. At a certain point, the sound of the other person breathing makes me want to hurt them.
Oh, I can so relate to that. Why is it important to miss your partner? You know, to get that space and have that time where you actually really miss them. Because me and Lau did a long distance relationship for a long time. And people are like, oh, God, was that really hard? And I was like, no, actually, because we spent quality time together on the weekends when we saw each other and it was really healthy for us. But that missing someone is really important, isn't it?
It is. And like this, you know, some people, it depends, there's also cultural differences here. You know, in some countries, it's much more, in some certain cultures, it's much more normal, expected, seen as very healthy to spend shed loads of time together. But often a lot of those cultures, they're more based around community and family than this idea of nuclear family. You know, by nuclear family, I mean like sort of two parents and the kids just living in one household. Like that has only really come about over the last 100 years that's really risen in sort of popularity. And, you know, there's reasons why that's happened. Capitalism, various and post-industrialization, all of that. But like, it doesn't work that well for a lot of people because it means you only have a very small number of people to be, you know, interested in, to be annoyed by. You know, it's just, it's too few people for most of us. And so, you know, when, if we don't have the option of living in an extended family or for other reasons we might not want to do that, it means we have to be able to get some space, yeah. you know, to be able to not feel so merged with our partner. You know, it can go into, you know, again, okay, there can be cultural differences here, but like codependency, this sense of we don't know where we end and the other person begins because we're just so used to being fused at the hip. You know, we can forget the difference in our, you know, sort of our personalities, our interests, our hobbies, our beliefs. And so being able to have that, still have space for that to be separate, I think is really, really important.
I suppose it's a positive thing that a lot of couples are coming to the likes of you and other relationship experts for therapy, because it shows that they're not thrown in the towel, so to speak, and they're willing to work at it. But how do you decide you're at that point as a couple? When do you decide, okay, it's time, we need therapy to sort this out?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, traditionally it's been seen that that therapy is, you know, something that you do when it's already, when you're already worried that it's seriously on the rocks. And I think it's now becoming more and more accepted that you can go to therapy either individually or as a couple at any time. You know, often people will come to me and say, God, I feel really guilty and really self-indulgent and sort of mm-hmm. selfish coming to therapy because, you know, there's people who have a lot bigger problems in the world. But the thing is, we only have our own set of problems.
It's all relative,
you know,
yeah.
You can be involved with it. Exactly, it's all relative. And so I think that, you know, the moment that you think, I've had couples come to me who have, you know, sometimes they might have known each other for quite a long time, but they've just gotten together romantically and they decide to come to therapy right away, not because there's any problems, but because they want to, you know, a bit like you might do it, you know, not that it's the same, but you could compare it in some ways to setting up a business, that you might have a business mentor, you'd have people who know about the industry. Well, most of us did not receive amazing messages growing up from society, from caregivers, you know, necessarily about how to have a relationship, and especially how to have a relationship in this generation. You know, what worked well for our parents might not work well for people who are 20, 30, 40 years old now.
So there's no harm, so really. There's
no harm. If you have the money to do it and you can put that aside and take the time for yourselves, I think it is an amazing thing to do. You know, if you find someone who you click with, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to develop new skills and strategies for managing, you know, your own sort of emotions and habits and being able to navigate the stuff with your partner. You know, all of the research shows that probably about 70% of the problems we have with partners are never going to be resolved. You know, it's not like you're going there like, right, we're going to fix this. It's more like you find ways to be able to work around it. Work around the stuff that doesn't quite work for you. Have these different go-tos, different people in your life that you can get, you know, get some space from your partner as well, family, friends, other spaces, community spaces. So that you just have, you don't have so much focus on this.
And you're not so reliant. Yeah, we've talked about that before. And I think that's really important to say, isn't it? But you know, when couples come to you for therapy, can you tell by their sexual relationship how good they are or not? Would that be a telling sign?
Ooh, interesting one. I would have said a few years ago that I would absolutely say yes, that I could, and that would often correlate. But to be honest now, I think that people are so much more knowledgeable and sort of open and aware about sex, that there are some people where they can have an amazing sex life and they're really able to compartmentalize and they don't get on well in other areas of their relationship. And then there are people who have an amazing relationship in every area but sex, and they're just not particularly compatible there. So I would see it as, you know, a bit like people can be really on the same page with money or with parenting or with how to spend your time. It's just one category of a relationship where for some people, absolutely, the better their sex life is, the more that they're feeling great with each other. But for others, that really isn't the case.
And how do you decide whether to have therapy on your own or if this is something to do with your partner?
Some people will do both. Obviously, that can get expensive if it's going for private therapy, obviously. But I think that, you know, a lot of people will think, oh God, well, you know, my problems are with my partner, so I don't really just want to be going through the problems with someone else there. Other people will think, well, this is something I need to work on, you know, more myself, or I'm embarrassed about it, so I'll just go on my own. And I think probably talking to your partner about this, you know, I'm seeing more and more therapists, and I certainly do this, where you might have a couple of sessions with each person individually, and then from basically from then on have sessions with the two people as a couple. And I think that can work really well for people, because if it's only individual, then, you know, often the therapist isn't really going to know the full story of how you're kind of relating to each other. And then sometimes if you're only seeing a therapist as a couple, there might be things that you're just not willing to open up about, because you feel too embarrassed or ashamed or worried that, you know, even though a therapist should never be saying you should stay together or you should break up, it's not for them to tell you that of course we might still have some fears and insecurities that the therapist is going to look at our relationship and go, oh God, you know, these people are awful together. So I think that sitting down, talking to your partner, maybe having a chat with a couple of therapists to see what they say about how they operate, and you'll probably get a better idea of, you know, what might work for you. But I certainly think that having the odd individual session, you know, it's not works. That a therapist is going to keep this, you know, a secret that you tell them. It's not for them to sort of sit there and you to have that between you, but it can certainly be a space where you can feel a bit more able to open up about something that, you know, is usually red hot argument immediately with your partner.
How do you know you have the right therapist? How do you know? Because it's a very important relationship, and if you get it wrong, I suspect it could do you more harm than good. How do you know that you're with the right therapist?
Oh, it definitely can do you more harm. You know, I have lots of people coming to me saying, you know, I had a therapist who gave me, you know, really direct advice about this or that, and I'm really not sure about it, or I just really don't feel understood by them, you know, or I feel like they're quite judgmental. You know, of course we would hope the therapists would, you know, they're exactly trained, their job is to be non-judgmental, but that doesn't mean that every person is good at their job, just like in any sector, in any industry. So I think feeling a good click, feeling like you are as comfortable as possible. Now, there could be all sorts of reasons why you're going to feel at least a bit or sometimes very uncomfortable anyway, just by the fact that you're going to be sharing things that are, you know, meaningful, vulnerable, painful to you, you know, embarrassing, whatever it is. But that on the whole, you feel like this is a person who you can trust, who seems warm, who you feel generally comfortable with, and who seem, you know, that you feel like there's a sense of progression, which can be, you know, a bit difficult. It's like, how long is a, you know, length of string a bit, where, you know, you're not necessarily going to feel great after every session. You're not necessarily going to be like, right, amazing, I've learned all these new skills and my relationship has changed. You know, it can take time for sure. For some people, it can take many months or even years to really see progress and change in themselves when you consider all sorts of things that people could have had happen to them in their life, and then, you know, patterns and habits that have solidified over decades.
Yeah. And can you judge it on a feeling, how you feel after a session? Like, if you feel good after a session or bad, you know, would that be a good telling sign if that you're with the right person as a couple or individually?
It can be, but you'd probably want to check with yourself, what might that be about? Because there could be so many reasons why you feel good after a session. It could be simply that you were able to get stuff off your chest. That might be nothing to do with the therapist. Or you might feel really bad just because now you've brought up stuff that you maybe haven't thought about, or, you know, in years, or even talked about ever. So there's the potential for that to not necessarily feel super, you know, relieving or rewarding right away. And that doesn't mean that the therapist is, you know, not suited to you. So I would sort of just, you know, sit with the feelings that are coming up. It'll probably be a mix of things, and just sort of checking, you know, a good rule of thumb is, do I feel safe with this person?
Okay.
You feel unsafe in some way. And I don't mean physically unsafe. Obviously, there's a serious problem there if you feel physically unsafe, but that there might be a sense of, right, this is really hard and it's really challenging, but I feel like this person really has my back. They've got my back. That's a good rule of thumb.
Well, listen, thank you so much, Rachel Cook. Welcome home.
Thanks, Jen. Talk to you.
I'll talk to you soon, hopefully in the studio someday, really, really soon. That's Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She's amazing. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end, and she will be back next week. So if you have any questions that you would like us to put to her, you can get in touch with the team 24/7. They never stop working, to be honest with you. I do. I clock off at 12:01, but they're always around. Jen at rc.ie. We'll be back after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.